WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Operas can be about almost anything. While the earliest operas were based on mythology, contemporary operas have been as timely as today's news. Our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, tells us about several new operas that have been based on a surprising variety of sources, including a poem by Frank Bidart called Ellen West.
Ellen was obsessed with eating and the arbitrariness of gender and having to have a body.
It took opera a couple of hundred years before Verdi's La Traviata in the middle of the 19th century shocked audiences by dealing directly with contemporary issues. In our own time, composer John Adams and poet Alice Goodman created a masterpiece out of director Peter Sellers' startling idea of making an opera out of President Nixon's visit to China, which took place only 15 years earlier. And less than 5 years passed between the hijacking of the cruise ship Achille Lauro by Palestinian terrorists in 1985 and the next Adams-Goodman-Sellers opera, The Death of Klinghoffer. That opera is still so controversial, protesters have forced performances, including the Met's Live in HD telecast, to be canceled. More recently, the Metropolitan Opera, which has relied so heavily on standard repertory, co-commissioned operas based on movies. Thomas Addis's intense version of Spanish director Luis Buñuel's chilling political satire, The Exterminating Angel, and Nico Muhly's rather milder take on the novel that was the source of Alfred Hitchcock's psychological mystery, Marnie. More unusual than that, Opera Saratoga just presented a new one-act chamber opera by composer Ricky Ian Gordon. It's the first opera I'm aware of that's actually a setting of a poem. Ellen West, a 16-page narrative by last year's Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Frank Bidart. This tragic poem, first published in 1975, dramatizes the final days of a woman suffering from anorexia and is based on a classic case study even before anorexia had a name. But the poem is shattering not because it's a case history. It's Bidart's profound exploration of what it means to have a body, an identity, even a gender, and what sacrifices it takes to be an artist. In this gripping passage, Ellen West sings about soprano Maria Callas, famous for her drastic weight loss as Puccini's Tosca. Ellen says, "I know that in the second act, when humiliated, hounded by Scarpia, she sang Vici d'arte, I lived for art, and in torment, bewilderment, at the end, she asks, with a voice reaching harrowingly for the notes, art has repaid me like this? I felt I was watching autobiography." And now, let's hear the hair-raising soprano Jennifer Zetlin. Also, listen for Gordon's sly allusion to Puccini's aria.
Thank you.
The death of Ellen West is one of the most heart-wrenching moments I know in contemporary opera. In most operas, words are secondary. When a composer chooses an extraordinary text for the music to live up to, that's news. The Danish composer Poul Ruders did that when he based his best-known opera on the scary dystopian world of Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. His latest opera, The 13th Child, is a kind of throwback to earlier operas based on fables and fairy tales. But this opera is no less scary. The librettists, Becky and David Starobin, have fashioned a compelling libretto out of a relatively obscure grim fairy tale. It combines sexual jealousy, political intrigue, and murder that, like the music itself, has a very modern ring to it, with a touch of magic. This was the latest production in the Santa Fe Opera's notable series of world premieres. A recording on the Bridge label was released weeks before the first performance. That might have something to do with the librettists being the couple who started and run Bridge Records, a company I admire for its devotion to contemporary music. One disappointment I have with a lot of contemporary operas is that composers seem more interested in complex orchestration than in beautiful writing for the voice. Ruders, at least, is not afraid to lapse into tonality, as in this haunting slow waltz the Queen sings on her deathbed. Mezzo-soprano Tamara Mumford is the only singer on the CD who was also in the stage production.
If you can't return to me, land of worlds of Agor, in his blooming red as blood, shall banish evil.
For American audiences, it's a gift that so many new operas are in English, and that in the best of these, the English can be as powerful, surprising, eloquent, and timely as the music.
Lloyd Schwartz teaches poetry in the Creative Writing MFA program at the University of Massachusetts Boston and is the Poet Laureate of Somerville, Massachusetts.